It's the Mornings with Ed show, and I've been looking forward to this performance for a couple of weeks now, fresh with a brand new project called Project 12. Sarah Samantha Alexander, you are absolutely going to love this. Project 12 is an EP, and we're going to hear a song off it. Sans Faute is the name of this band, and we're going to hear Young. Ladies and gentlemen, Laguna Beach live from our Julie Lawton studios here in Laguna Beach. Please welcome Sans Faute. Sans Faute, live in our studios. Project 12 is the new EP. That was Young. And I got to tell you, there is a reason I got all nervous and fumbly when I introduced you, man. This is just a fantastic EP. Great music. And you're going to hear some more of it right now. Live from our Julie Lawton studios here in Laguna Beach. And it's a beautiful day and a perfect day to hear another song. This one's called Whole, Sans Faute, off the Project 12 EP. Thank you.
player faces black and white. Humiliated, out of sight. Make your bed and tell me what is true, what is meant for spite. Tell me that I'm doing right.
Closed. I'm swaying back and forth, man. That song just does it for me. That song was called Whole, Sans Faute, live in studio. Sans Faute, live in studio. And the EP is called Project 12. She's got shows coming up at Adults Only in Los Angeles on August 1st. That's part of a Breaking Sound event. And on August 18th at the Mint in Los Angeles. And you know what? I just can't get enough. Let's hear it. This is Fidget, Sans Faute. Sans Faute. The name of that song is Fidget off the Project 12 EP. And my good, first of all, thank you for coming in this morning.
Of course. I wouldn't miss it.
What a great EP. What a great set of songs. Just really.
Thank you.
And we'll go over it, but it speaks to the soul, man. You are speaking to the soul here.
Oh, God, I hope so. I kind of wrote those songs with a lot of personal experience, so I would hope that it connects with people. That's my intention.
If you're just joining us live in studio with Sans Faute, we heard a couple of great live songs as well as Fidget that we've been all over for the last couple of weeks. Tell me a little bit about Fidget.
Fidget, I started writing a couple years ago. It started with a guitar riff. I was just kind of messing around, doing some warm-ups. And so that beginning guitar riff is what started the whole song process.
Right.
And then I was thinking about what I wanted to evoke with that song. And I was like, you know what? I like the vision that I have in my head after I had completed writing the music for it. I was like, I want people to be driving down like a dusty road and listening in their car, and they're on the run from the cops. Don't actually run from the cops.
A little Thelma and Louise action going on here.
Little Thelma and Louise, little Bonnie and Clyde. But that's kind of the vision that I had for the song when I wrote it initially. And then I just could never quite get that recorded sound right that I liked.
Right.
So I put it to bed for a little while. And then when I was working on the EP with my friends / collaborators, Finn Bennett and Griffin Scott, who are incredible musicians in their own right, we were working on it in Griffin's basement.
Right. Where everyone works on their EPs.
That's where you start. You gotta get some blankets up on the walls and start from scratch.
Yeah.
And I played the demo that I had recorded in my room of the song that just did not sound right.
Right.
And they said, we can do something with this. So we recorded. Finn and Griffin added their musical genius to it with drums, a little bit of guitar, a little bit of bass, and then mixed it. Right. And that's what came out.
The Dusty Road.
Yeah. And I was like, that is exactly what I wanted. That is perfect. So there, that's how it kind of came to be.
Right.
It's a lot of F the man kind of sentiments in the song.
Right.
I think I wrote it during a particular election, but.
Okay. Yeah. I think I may recall the election actually.
But it's, I love that song. I've always had a lot of love for that song. It just never came out right. And then we finally kind of got it to the point where it started sounding like what I wanted it to.
Can we look forward to a video? And then in the video, there's a dusty road and the car going?
That was our vision. I might just go out to the desert myself and take my iPhone and cut and paste a bunch of photos.
Okay, drive!
Yeah. I need to find someone with a convertible. So if anybody has it.
that's part of the vision there.
Yeah. Right? Okay. I don't have access to that one.
So let me continue on to the video. If you make a video for a song, do you feel that you want that same amount of control over the video as you do your music when you produce it?
I think that every artist has that idea in their head that they want to take charge of everything. Like they, you know, I've wrote the songs. I have an idea for what I want it to sound like, what I want it to feel like, like the colors that I want it to produce, you know.
Right. The presentation, the entire scope of the presentation.
But in working as an artist and working as a musician as part of bands, and then also in working on this EP, I realized that it's just impossible to produce a full artistic project without collaboration.
Right.
So I have my ideas, and I had my ideas for all of these songs going into recording. And then, like I said, I met up with Finn and Griffin, and they just took it and morphed it into something that was along with what I wanted, but also like took it to a completely new level that I couldn't have done on my own. There are some components in there that I wouldn't have thought of because I'm just not that smart.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, we've been talking. You seem quite intelligent. Yeah.
Thank you. If we were to do a music video, which I would love to do a music video for this song, I would be 1,000% open to ideas from people that I respect and appreciate. And I think art is great. Art is collaboration.
Agreed. Again, and really, I think what they lend to it is the dusty road.
Yeah, I think maybe one of them has a convertible. I don't think they do.
Now, on August 1st, you've got a show at Adults Only in Los Angeles.
Yes, I do.
And that's part of the Breaking Sound event, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Tell me about that. Are we looking forward to this? Well, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited. Breaking Sound is a great organization that introduces new and emerging artists to Los Angeles. They've got a couple of different locations, actually. I think they've got a headquarters in like London and New York. And so we're doing a show in Los Angeles with a couple of other acts. And the lineup is absolutely fantastic. Right. And I'm really very humbled to be a part of the show. Tickets are on Eventbrite right now. But you can also go to my Instagram and link up. I think I have the link on there. I have to double check.
We will, before this is over, we'll have somebody double check for you so that when we announce it, they're like, hey, where the hell is this?
But it's you know, Breaking Sound LA, Adults Only, Sans Vote. Like I said, tickets are on Eventbrite. It's going to be a fantastic show. And I'm very excited to be a part of it. It's just going to be me this time around. I do have a full band that we'll be playing shows, but I'm it's going to be kind of a stripped down acoustic set.
Okay.
Because the venue is a little bit on the smaller side, a little cozy.
Right.
It'll be great.
Right. It'll be like in here. It'll be exactly like it was in
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. But there you can drink like an old fashioned if you want to. Ed.
I know. I'm sorry. I only made coffee this morning.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
I apologize
there's
for
no
that.
Kahlua, there's no Kahlua. I'm just kidding.
So when you have a full band and the difference, obviously we know the sound difference, the feel difference, this current band of yours, you've got this feel, you've all got this chemistry, you got this cool connection happening.
Oh, absolutely. Well, they're brilliant musicians. Right. They're fantastic, very smart guys. They know what they're doing. They're so dedicated to their instruments.
Right.
I remember walking into a recording session and Griffin was sitting there and like nursing his fingers because he had these giant blood blisters on his fingers from playing bass.
Okay.
And he practiced, he said something like 8 hours the day prior, which is what, you know, they're true professionals. They're very young.
Right.
I think both 17,
right.
But they're consummate professionals and have incredible ideas and are very open to collaboration as well. So when we play together, it's just,
right.
It's a nice vibe.
You were an amazing artist at 17 as well. So I mean, that's, you know, you were the consummate professional.
Oof.
And I hear, well, you started playing piano at like 4, right?
Yeah.
So you've been playing instruments your entire life. I can't imagine you not having an instrument of some kind.
I did. I started playing piano when I was 4, but I was too rambunctious to sit still for too long. So I played for a few years and then I went away from it for a couple years, but I picked up bass guitar actually when I was like 11 or 12. I had a guitar that my neighbor had gifted to me. It was our old Harmony Strat. It was lunky. I still have it.
They never give you new guitars.
No.
They never hand me down a new one.
I wanted like a brand new Telecaster. No, but I mean, it was a great guitar to learn on. Shredded my fingers, which is what you're supposed to do. But I had kind of been tinkering with it and she was teaching me some things. And then when I was like 11 or 12, I bought my first instrument, which was a bass. It was a Fender P bass, right. But it was the Squire version. I didn't have enough money to shell out for a full.
I get it.
Little 11-year-old. And I started taking bass lessons, and then pretty soon, like a couple months later after that, I started taking guitar lessons with the same teacher. His name is Phil Ernst. I think I mentioned him last time when we were on the show. Brilliant teacher. And then I got put in a band. He was very big on putting bands together through the music school, which I think was fantastic.
Smart move.
Absolutely.
Right.
It was one of the best experiences I've ever had, was like playing in a band, playing shows with a band, going to practices every week, and like really working through songs, working through. We played a couple covers, but we also had some originals that we had written that were terrible. but it got me into thinking about how to write music.
Right.
So I played with them for a little while, and then picked up guitar, picked up bass, anything I brought in to Phil, he would show me how to tinker with. I got like this used mandolin that I brought in, and he was showing me how to fiddle with it. And so from then on, it was just
it became all-consuming for you.
Oh, absolutely.
So the thing that's inescapable when we hear you, certainly, obviously your writing is magnificent, but that voice is it's an instrument that just, I wish I could bottle it. It's absolutely a magnificent sound that comes out of your voice.
You guys can't see, but I'm turning bright red. I'm beet red right now.
But it's true, man. And I know that they heard. I know that they understand and they agree with me. When did you get the confidence to actually, okay, I'm ready.
Oh,
I can sing now.
That took a while, actually. My mother is a brilliant singer. She has this incredible, beautiful voice, and she did musical theater, dinner theater, and she and my father actually played in a jam band together, like 60s, 70s jam band. My dad's a drummer.
We sent them out really groovy a little earlier.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah, I'm sure they appreciate that. And my dad, my dad still plays in bands here and there. And he's in one right now that's also another 60s, 70s band. I don't know about that man's taste in music sometimes, but but my mother has this beautiful voice and had been training her whole life. And I grew up with her singing, you know, like when I was a baby and I would cry, she would sing "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina."
Okay.
She would sing me to bed with "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." And like, there were just elements of my childhood where I distinctly remember my mother's beautiful beacon of a voice. And so I was very nervous to sing for a very long time because I always thought I could never really measure up to her, and she's beyond anyway. But I found that I didn't need to sound like her.
There you go.
I could just kind of sound like what I wanted to sound like or how I sounded and work with what I had.
Right.
Because my dad can't sing at all, and I got half of both. So when I realized that I could kind of mold my own voice or carve my own space, then I started to gain the confidence to actually sing in front of people. And that was right around the time that I started playing in bands, because then I had the buffer.
right.
of a band.
Right.
And I don't think I was ever the lead vocalist, especially when I was younger. I was never the lead vocalist, but I would sing backup or I would sing harmony.
Right.
And that gave me the confidence to kind of start getting my voice a little louder, a little more out there, sing a song here and there. So the first time that I ever fully sang for anybody was I was probably 18 years old. I don't think I was younger than 18 when I actually performed for people on my own.
Butterflies in the belly?
Ooh, it was bad. It was pitchy. Oh, they did not want to be there, but I made them listen.
Well, it's worked out in the long run. It has absolutely worked out in the long run. I want to get into your writing a little bit now, and that second song you performed live was called Whole. Mm-hmm. It deep into the soul, as I said. That's one of the songs that it hit me. When I listened to it, if you look at the number here, it says like 18 listens on my phone, and it's over and over. Tell me about Whole and the writing that went behind that.
Ooh, Whole is a breakup song.
It sounds like one.
Whole is a breakup song. But I have always kind of used that the sad inspiration for my life to write songs. And it's always turned out pretty well because I think people can relate to a sad song more than they can relate to a happy song. Like you want to jump around and have a good time with a happy song, but with a sad song, it's something universal about an experience of loss, whether that's loss of a relationship because of a breakup or loss of a parent, child, family member, animal. There's something universal about loss. And when I was writing Whole, I was reminiscing on the end of the relationship, but the happy parts of the relationship. That's why there's a line in there that says, I still love the plans we made.
Right.
You know, when you have this idea that something's going to last forever and you have your goals, dreams, aspirations all laid out with this person, and then they just completely vanish when the relationship disintegrates. And then we usually fall into this cycle of hating that person and cursing them. But I really wanted to focus on the fact that there was an experience that I had that was beautiful while it lasted. And just because it's over doesn't mean that I can't look back on it fondly. And so writing that song was very cathartic for me because it wasn't that... I wasn't scribbling on a piece of paper angrily and ripping the paper.
Right.
I was thinking about why I had fallen in love with that person and what I wanted in the aftermath. And so that's where it was kind of born. I wrote that song in the span of about a day and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I just had all these ideas kind of percolating in my brain and I vomited them onto the paper and it turned out okay.
Right.
So, but yeah.
A little got on your shoe, but
we scratched a couple of things out. We won't talk about it, but and it's funny because I got a text message from that person because we're still on good terms telling me that that's their favorite song on the EP. And so I thought it was funny.
And it's funny you say that. I changed several times of what my favorite song is, but that one it strikes. That one is just like a batter hitting a home run, man.
Oh,
and
just
it really is. It strikes every nerve. And you're right. I think what you're saying about the universal feeling of loss is, good job with that. That's
thank
just
you.
Outstanding.
Oh, thank you. So much. No, thank you. That makes me feel real good early in the morning.
If you're just joining us, we are live with Sans Fote in our studio. We heard a couple of great songs off of the Project 12 EP. She has a show on August 1st at Adults Only. It's a breaking sound event in Los Angeles. Now, you don't only play guitar and piano and bass. You're just versed in everything.
Not everything.
Well, tell me the one you're not at. You're not it.
Oh gosh. Well, you were playing a song earlier that had a saxophone in it, I think, or we were talking about a song with a saxophone. I cannot play a woodwind or a brass for the life of me. My mom plays the flute.
Right.
She's a flautist, and then she can dabble in like sax and those instruments.
Right.
And I spit all over the flute. I can't. I hold it up and she'll tell me to put it under your lip and blow lightly and I'm...
So when you write, it's vomit, and when you play the sax, it's spit. Just there's just all kinds
flying
of...
flying everywhere. So I definitely cannot play any instrument that requires me to blow air into it. Don't give me one of those.
Now, not to be overlooked, your dad is also a musician, and yeah. I saw a jam session with you and your dad, and he was playing the hell out of a coffee table,
oh,
man.
Oh, he's brilliant.
It was like bongos.
Yeah.
He made the coffee table sound like bongos.
He has bongos, okay. too. He has it at home.
You got every instrument in the world at home, don't you?
We got a ton. We do have quite a few. Like I said, we have a sax. We have a bunch of guitars. Well, not anymore because I took most of them. But my dad has been playing the drums for several decades. He won't want me to tell you how many because he's going to be upset if I give away his age.
At least 10 years.
Let's say it's over 50.
Okay. That's our little secret.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Our secret.
But he's a fantastic, brilliant drummer, and I grew up watching him play drums and I have hearing loss because of it. But he
thanks, Dad.
I remember actually he would jam with me when I first started playing bass. We would jam together because the rhythm section, and so he really got me into if nothing else, working with a metronome, but and getting my timing right, but also learning how to play with other people and how to morph my style to fit somebody else, right. And the collaborative process of improvisational playing. like I said, my mom and my dad were in a 60s, 70s jam band together. So for a lot of my childhood, they had practices at our house. So I would come home or I would be home and they'd be playing into the wee hours of the morning. And that I grew up around musicians. And so they had a huge influence on my life. And my dad, we're always going to music stores together. So growing up, we would go to a lot of secondhand music stores, and he got it in his head that he wanted to make a suitcase drum set.
Right.
Which is basically you just get this giant trap suitcase like you would see on, you know, a Pan Am airline or something.
Right.
And we cut a hole in the center of it and stuck a bass drum head there. And then we went to a bunch of secondhand music shops and just started finding pieces and old snare cymbals and whatnot. And he and I built this suitcase drum set.
Look at you. Look at you. That's cool.
It was cool. You know, a little 13, must have been like 12 or 13 years old. And I have a lot of experiences like that in music with my parents that I think fueled this, what I'm doing now.
Just now when you said that, all across the world, percussion nerds slapped each other high five.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and he's got his giant pearl drum set and all the bells and whistles on that, like the bongos. He's got a tambourine, a cowbell, all that fun stuff.
The next question I only ask of really good and fine musicians, okay? But if you were able to right now, if I was able to pluck you and drop you into any band ever, mm-hmm. Is there a band that you would just like, oh gosh, I wish I could have been around and played with them, or I really love their sound, I think I could fit really well. Any band.
Man. Okay, the classic answer that I guess I would say would be, and the classic and sentimental answer would be Heart.
Okay.
There are tons of bands that I listen to now. Like Tank and the Bangas is one that I absolutely would love to play with now. But the 7-year-old in me is like, go play with Heart, because I grew up listening to Nancy Wilson's guitar playing and Ann Wilson's voice. And the first time I ever heard the Dreamboat Annie record, I remember I was in my parents' room and they weren't home. I must have been maybe 10. And my parents have a record player, and so I found, and they have a bunch of records from all different bands, all different artists. You know, I grew up with Ella Fitzgerald. I grew up with Billie Holiday, all of these incredible artists.
It shows in your music.
Oh, thank you.
It really does.
Gosh, I can only hope. but I remember finding that record and seeing the front of it, and it kind of intrigued me. So I put it on the record player, and I just laid on the floor of my parents' bedroom and listened to the whole Dreamboat Annie album. And from that day forward, my mom would come home and find me on the floor of her bedroom listening to Dreamboat Annie. She'd start to walk across the floor and I'd go, stop, 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 stop. So the record would skip if she walked too fast. But I fell in love. I'm the way that they worked together, the right. chemistry that they had together on stage, and the incredible musicianship, like Anne's voice that's just operatic.
Right.
And Nancy's guitar playing, which I'm trying to learn the intro to Crazy on You right now, and it's taking me forever.
Well, our listeners didn't have a chance to hear this, but she came in and was warming up with Crazy on You, and I thought to myself, spot on, man, that's spot on. you found some things wrong that you'd done, but I thought, wow, that's great.
Well, when was the last time you listened to that song? Because
I think you sounded fine. I sat here and I watched her working the guitar. I'm like, yeah, that sounds fine to me.
I mean, it's incredible. She's one of the consummate, because I'm going to use the word consummate today, guitar aficionados that I grew up listening to. And the one that really ignited that passion in me to play guitar, because there aren't a lot of fantastic female guitar players from that time period.
Right.
You know, we laud a lot of guitar players. Like, I mean, you're talking about Jimmy Page, and I grew up listening to Jimi Hendrix, and I grew up listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan, and all of these incredible male guitar players, and they're fantastic, and they influenced my style a lot. But I never really saw a woman that, like, all the women played bass. You know, right. Sonic Youth, like, Kim plays bass, and brilliant musicians. Right. But I wanted to see someone at the helm of that, like, right. guitar solo,
right.
you know, taking the reins of that breakdown right. that you had in those days. And she was the first one that really did that for me.
That's such a rock and roll thing to say, man. Right? It's so cool. Yeah, I get it. And, you know, I could see the connection. I can absolutely see where you would be connected to Nancy. You know, we had her in concert out here in December. It was a fantastic show. She's amazing.
You're telling me. I'm so jealous.
It was a great show.
They're brilliant. And I was watching the Dreamboat Annie concert that they did a couple years ago. I don't remember if it was on HBO or not, but I remember watching them and thinking, that's it. That's what I want to do. I want to stand on that stage and just own it and have people connecting with the music, swaying as one big group. And so they're hugely influential on my life.
Well, and you will be influential on someone else's life. That's how this is going to work, man. That's exactly how this is going to work. If you're just joining us, sans faute, live in studio, the new EP is called Project 12. We've heard some live songs off it. We've had a great discussion with Sarah here. And tell us where we can find your music.
You can find my music on Spotify or Apple Music. Look up Project 12. And that's sans faute, is sansfaute. I have to spell it for people every show because
I get it.
I was dumb and picked a pretentious name, but that's what we're sticking with.
Now, what was the choice in name? Why the choice in name?
Sans faute means without fault or without mistake, and it comes from a philosophical line of without music, life would be a mistake. And I'm pretty sure it's Nietzsche. And I'm going to sound even worse if I'm wrong with that, but I'm pretty positive it's Nietzsche. Without music, life would be a mistake. Sans faute, without fault or mistake. That's where it came from. You can call me Comic Sans. You can call me Sans Foot, Sure Foot. It's fine. I make fun of it all you want to, but please listen to the music.
It's a fantastic EP, and I do strongly suggest it. It's called Project 12. Mm-hmm. Sarah, this is always, I love having you hang out. You could just stay here forever for all I care.
I might.
All right.
I pulled a cot up, so I might just sleep back here. Right on. Cool.
Next time you're in town, bring the band and we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do something else. Off of Project 12, this is called Bad Person. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
Project 12 EP, Sans Faute. And I, Sarah, I couldn't let you leave without telling you how much I love that song, Bad Person. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. All the best of luck on August 1st as you do the Adults Only in Los Angeles, part of a Breaking Sound event. And we couldn't be happier that you're here. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, guys.